We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon. It's time to take time for Jesus as I take time for him more than just on the broadcast or the time we make the broadcast. But friends and loved ones, I want to encourage you to take time out of your daily life to give praise and honor, truthfully, to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the God of all things. He was the Father in the beginning, created all things. But the scripture teaches us that by Jesus, all things was created and for his glory. So we need to understand that Jesus is the whole foresight of everything. He is everything. And if we fail to give honor and glory and praise unto him, we're coming short of the things that we're in that God would have us to have by calling upon the name of Jesus. So down through the years, throughout biblical history, as it has been recorded, and Isaiah in 53, I believe it was, he said, "Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Well, scripturally speaking there, that Jesus came in the volume of the book. And many times God warned the people by his audible voice to the prophets of old and the patriarchs of old, like Abraham and different ones there. And he spoke to him audibly from heaven, as he did to Paul or Saul at that time on the road to Damascus, when that great light above the noonday sun shined down on him, and he fell to the ground, and he said, "Lord, who art thou?" And he said, "I am Jesus, of whom thou persecute." Now, my friends, there's a lot of people in the world today has come and tried to make God a three-headed thing, or even three persons in the Godhead, when the Bible does not back up such as that. But nevertheless, he has sent a warning by his prophets of old and the patriarchs of the things that he would judge them about, and they some taking heed and some didn't. The same way they're in this world today, that people are shunning the true gospel of Jesus Christ and making it to what they want it to be, or seemingly that's what it is, that whatever tickles their ears, in other words, the good things that God has promised us, that they want to bring out and emphasize to people that are gullible, and they make it to wherein that they're going to receive great rewards here in this life if they will contribute to their doctrine and help them build a big cathedral and have luxury life and in this world and everything. And a lot of people are doing that. But my friend, let me tell you, the end is upon us, and Jesus is coming very soon, sooner than what we may even realize, because all the things that God himself spoke of in the days of old and spoke of into the apostles there when he spoke to them about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in AD 70, he spoke of the times that you and I are living in right today. He spoke of the wickedness in the world in Noah's time, and it repented God that he even created man or made man. So, but Noah found grace in the sight of God, and the Lord told him to build an ark. And he worked on it for 120 years, and Noah was approximately 600 years old when the ark was finished, and he rose above in the flood. Now, Noah taking heed to what God told him, he said, "I'm going to send a flood upon the earth." And he told him how to build the ark and how big it was to be and how it was to be constructed. So Noah taking heed, and his three sons and their wives, they helped and they built the ark. It took them 120 years, But during that 120 years, Noah was telling the people that there was going to come a flood upon the world. And they laughed and they mocked and they carried on this and that and one thing or another. And so it is today when we speak about, now I'm not the only ones, but there are several other preachers are speaking concerning the end time that we're living in and the soon coming of our Lord. We need to take heed to what's going on in the world and seeing what's in the Word of God by reading the Word of God and taking notice about the warnings that God has given to us in the written letter of the Word by the preaching of the gospel of them that are the apostles and them that are old, the prophets that spoke in God's name way back in the days when things were just beginning. Now we're coming to the time that the things are fastly coming to an end. We look and we see the things that Jesus spoke about happening, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, and all these things are happening. But people are not really paying attention to it. I don't know whether it's because that they think it's a joke or that this book we call the Bible is some kind of fantasy or fairy tale. Some people seem to think that and said, I've heard people say, oh, well, it was just somebody wrote a book there and tell us all this to where we would behave ourselves. In other words, we would do good and so on and so forth. But my friend, this gospel of Jesus Christ is coming to pass as he spoke about in the days that he walked among men in the flesh of man. God himself put on the robe of flesh to where he could die for yours and my salvation. Through the shedding of blood, for without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. So he took on him the form of a man, on the flesh, in other words, if you will, and he came to die on Calvary's cross. Now, he didn't have to do it, but the scripture says that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into the world that through him that the world might be saved. Well, you say, well, there's two of them. No, there's not no two. There's not no three. There's only one God. God spoke to the prophets of old, and he spoke to them by his audible voice. But he told Isaiah them long ago, before Jesus ever come into the world, that he was going to send his Son, but he said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the Virgin Mary birthed the man child, the man called Jesus, and it was God in the flesh, because he spoke to Mary and said, this thing that will be the power of the Most High will overshadow you. God spoke his word into existence, and it became flesh, as John, the first chapter, would tell us. There in the 14th verse, it said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, that can't be that Jesus was created like you or I, one born of the human relationship of man and woman. God himself spoke the Word and it became flesh. God himself came into this world as a man, because how would you nail or even whip, if you will, a spirit? God had to be manifested in the flesh to be able to suffer the things that he went through for yours and my salvation. The stripes for his healing, the beard being plucked from his face, and all the things that he suffered in the abuse and the accusation of those back in those days. And some of them were supposed to know better, but some people today supposed to know better, but they don't know it. The scribes and the Pharisees, they didn't believe what he told them, but yet it was in the scriptures, and they should have known. But the thing of it was that God had held it from them where they would refuse him, and to worry in that he could bring salvation through him being nailed on a cross, taking yours and my sins, as well as the children of Israel, and all that whosoever will, that nailing them to the cross. He bared our sins. He suffered all these things for you and I. And the thing of it is, the world is neglecting this plan of salvation in a great way because they continually in the sins. In Noah's time, is just like it is today. The wickedness of the hearts of men are destroying in many different ways. The money thing with drugs, it brings forth their riches and everything. They don't care about the person, what it does to them. It's just the money that they're after. A lot of them that are in big cathedrals and everything is more or less after more money than they are winning souls, because they're not preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we got to understand that God has called some people into the ministry, and some of them just seem like that they found out that they could get wealthy by it. And I heard a pastor one time said he got a hold of one of the big time evangelist that was well known, and he wanted him to come to his place and preach a revival. And he got in touch with him, and the evangelist told him, he said, "I got to have $2,000 in my hand before I even put a shirt in the suitcase." So needless to say, the man didn't have that kind of money, and neither did his congregation, because it was not no large 3,000 or 4,000 people there. And so needless to say, he didn't have it, so the man didn't come. But my friend, I want you to understand that Jesus told the apostles when he went out, he sent them out, and he said, don't take even an extra pair of shoes with you, not an extra garment, not no scrip or money, in other words, not even to anything to carry it in, but go into the place, and when they receive you, let your peace abide. If they don't, and you let and shake the dust from your feet. My friend, today, if the preachers today would be as humble before God as they should be, and I don't claim to be the greatest. I never have claimed to be anything but a sinner saved by the grace of his God. That's all I am, having my sins covered with the blood that was sacrificed there on Calvary's cross. I'm just a man like any other man. But God called me into the ministry, and I was like Jonah. I didn't get in the fish's belly, but I got other problems that brought me to the place to where I seen I needed to be obedient to the call, as Jonah did. And I try my best to listen to the Lord by the reading of his word and by prayer. And by the results of that is all I know. And if I be anything, it'll be by the grace of God. As Paul made mention, that it's going to take the grace of God. And by the grace of God, when he died on Calvary, he brought forth and showed grace unto the world through his death, and stretched out his arms and allowed them to nail him to a cross, and showed the world how much he loved him, because he stretched his arms out. And on the last day of the feast, there in Jerusalem, he stood up and called unto him, and he said, "All ye that thirst, let him come unto me and drink of the waters of life." See, he is the water of life. He's the bread of life. Many people take the communion. They do it with just a ritual life. They do it without respect unto God and the meaning of it. And they take the little cracker or whatever it is, and it was actually bread, unleavened bread, that they used at the Lord's Supper, as we call it, or at the communion, some people call it. And the wine was the fruit of the vine, the juice of the grape, in other words. It wasn't fermented and had a bunch of alcohol in it to where you could get drunk. But nevertheless, he took that and he told them, it broke the bread and said for them to eat him, because it was his body that was broken for many. He took the cup and he gave him the wine there, and he said, "Take, drink this, for this is the blood of the New Testament, which was shed for many." My friend, we got to understand that God came into this world for yours and my benefit. He didn't have to, but he did. And a lot of people says the Romans and the Jews killed him. No, they denied him. The Romans had him crucified him, but nobody killed him. He gave his life. He gave it up, and he's there at the end. He said, "Father, I commend my spirit into thine hands." And he gave up the ghost and died. They didn't kill him. How in the world could some unworthy man, born of a woman, shaped in iniquity and filled with sin in his life, could kill a true living God? It's just not possible, my friend. But he came in the flesh in order to present himself a living sacrifice for you and I. He shed his blood, gave his life. By his stripes we're healed. And these things that are scripturally spoken of in his word, if you take time to read it, and if you take time to read it, take heed to it, because he's given you a warning. So we look at the situation of many times that God sent warnings to people. And we look at the time when Genesis there, when Noah was there, when God spoke to him and warned him about the flood coming. And he warned the people about it, but they didn't take heed. They laughed and mocked at him. And we got people doing the same thing today. They're laughing at the gospel because there's some preachers that preaches the word of God, the truth. But people are not taking heed. They say, oh, it's, you know, this is something other that's eons down the road, if it ever happens. But I want you to know, my friend, we're living in the last days. Whether you want to believe it or not, that's entirely up to you. But you're the one that's going to suffer the consequences of with not believing what the gospel of Jesus Christ tells you. It's got to be as he had it put in the book, or elsewise it'll all fall to pieces. If he had not died for your sins, you would still be in your sins and with no hope. If he had not been rose from the dead, your faith is in vain, and so is the gospel. But he did rise, and he's alive forevermore. I talked to him today. I felt his presence with me, because he said he would come, and that we are a temple of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit. He said, without my Spirit, you're none of mine. But the Spirit of God will make himself known unto you when you've asked him to come into your life. He said he stood at the door knocking. If any man opens, he will come in and sup with him, and he with him. But now he's not talking about the front door of your house so much as he's speaking about open the heart's door. Open your heart up to him and let him come in. And I'm not speaking about that muscle in your body that pumps the blood. I'm talking about your intellection, where your brain is. That's where it all comes into. It operates. Your body functions because of the brain, the mind. The brain tells this what to do, and it does it. But so that's where God wants to dwell, is in the very essence of your soul, your thoughts, and in your mind. Therefore, the renewing of your mind to bring you out from the corruptible things that you were born into, to bring you to a renewed mind, to where in you'll call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins and come to him and allow him to come into your life. That's what it's all about. But my friend, when they neglected to take the warning that Noah gave them, and after the 120 years of preaching, they mocked him and made fun of him. But though he was faithful, he went ahead and finished the ark. And when it was all finished and everything, now, most of you have heard this before. I've even said it myself several times. But when the ark was finished and God spoke to Noah and he said, Noah, come into the ark. My friends, God's already in it. It was a type of the Ark of God, you might say. It was made out of shittim wood and tarred and there by man's hands, but it was made unsinkable, you might say, by the pitch that he put onto it, and to make the cracks not leaking and so on and so forth. But it was sealed because God made the plan. He gave it to Noah, and Noah fulfilled the plan that God gave him. The plan of salvation come in the words of God, my friend. You can't get around it. If you follow the plan, you will succeed in whatever that it brings you about. But if you get and say, well, I'll take a shortcut and I won't do it this way, but I'll do it that way, you're messing up. God's got a purpose for you and I in the world, and he will bring to pass. Now, it's not his will that any should perish. He didn't create hell for you and I. He created for the devil and his bunch of angels that decided they wanted to be above God and they was going to take over. So it was made for him. But it's enlarged itself according to the scriptures that where them that want to go as intruders, it'd be room for them. But there's room also in the kingdom of God for them that will repent. Believe what the scripture said. Take the warning that Noah gave the people at that day, and they just laughed it off and just went on their own way. Well, it never had rained before. And, well, we never have seen the Jesus coming in the clouds of glory, but one day he's going to show up. But it like it did when the clouds began to form up, and the thunder began to roar, and the lightning began to flash, and the water began to fall. Those people come to their senses and began to pray, but it was too late. The seven-day door was open of opportunity, and nobody went in. But, my friend, it's going to be that the preachers that are preaching the true gospel that Jesus is going to come soon, and they are neglecting the plan of salvation in such a way. But when that time comes and Jesus appears in the clouds of glory, and them that are asleep in Christ, it's been gone for a long time, years and years, they're going to come first at the sound of the last trumpet. And them which remain to be alive will be changed from mortal to immortality, like them that are in the grave will rise from corruption to incorruption, and they'll be changed and they'll meet the Lord in the air. My friend, we're going to have to understand that the Word of God is truth. It's been proven. If you'll open the Word of God and see the things that are happening around and about us today, the world has got in the condition that it was in the days of Noah. And people are running and sinning and all, they're killing and lying and cheating and all kinds of things are happening. God said that they would come to be such a world of corruption and everything. He repented that he made man. But I want you to think about it and look about what's happening in our world today with all these here things that are happening, killing and drug addicts and all this adultery and one thing or another is happening. Even as he said, and in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. We've got it right here. If you just open your Bible and read it and look and see what's happening. He said the wars and rumors of wars. Well, we've had them, my friend. World War I was supposed to have been the war to end all wars. But look, we've had World War II. We've had the Korean and the other wars and everything. And it's right on the verge of having another. And the Bible speaks about the final war that's going to end all wars. It's called Armageddon. Well, it ain't got here yet, but it's well on its way, and it's coming close to that time. So take warning. Read your word. Find out where you're at. Find out what you need to do in order to preserve your life. You're going to have to be born again. You're going to have to come and put your life in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, asking him to forgive you of your sins and iniquity. Change your attitude. Change your lifestyle. Change and let God come in and make that tremendous transition in your life that you can't make by yourself. Neither can I. But it takes the Spirit of God to change you, to make you acceptable for the kingdom of God. And even at that, my friend, the very righteous man's going to scarcely make it in according to the scripture. So what do you think the sinner and the ungodly is going to be? He's going to be lost, plain and simple. And it's not to say that we're so good that we're going to land right in the middle of the kingdom of God and have everything and right there, because the scripture says if the righteous scarcely make it in, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? But Noah, he went ahead and done what God told him to do. And when God spoke to him and told him to come into the ark, the door was open for 7 days. Seven more days of grace. That was 120 years plus 7 days that it was prepared. But the last 7 days, the ark was prepared. And the Lord told Noah to come into the ark and bring his family. All the animals was there and these things. And Noah went in, and still for 7 days, yet of grace, God give opportunity for others to come in, but they didn't. They still mocked at Noah, no doubt, laughed at him and shook their heads, as the scripture said. But when God shut the door, and friends, we're coming close to the door of opportunity for the salvation for mankind, especially for the people of the generation of we call there the Gentiles. He said, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Well, there is evidently going to be a cutoff time there for that. So let's get into the things that God has spoken about. You know, in further in Genesis, when he Abraham, he went to him and he told him there that he was going down to Sodom and Gomorrah and see why the cries of the people there were coming up. And he went down there to see, and Abraham asked him about 50 people, and it come on down and down until he got to 10, and he didn't go no further. But God told him for 10, he would spare the city. But when he got there, he didn't find 10. He found Lot, his two youngest daughters, and his wife. And they were warned to get out of town because they got out. But Lot's wife looked back. And there's a lot of people looking back at the glory of this world and not keeping their eyes on Jesus and the glory and the things that are to come by serving God. So she looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. So as we go on down the line, warning has come in many times, in many ways that God has warned the people to flee from the wrath to come. The wrath of God is going to be poured out upon this world, especially upon them, the sinner and the ungodly, them that didn't make it in the catching away of the bride of Christ. Them that didn't get into the ark was carried away by the flood. Them that don't make it into the catching away of the bride of Christ is going to be destroyed by the fire, is held in reserve against that day. So, my friends, we need to be warned. The Bible tells us about the warning and the things that come forth. You know that if you read it, it said he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone for their acts of adultery and one thing or another, and an abomination in his sight. Well, this world is getting to be the same way, and it's going to come to be a stink in the nostrils of God, and he's getting tired of it. So, but when the fullness of time comes, he's going to destroy this old world, and all that bears not his name, all them that have not repented and come to him and have been put, keeping their names wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life and established there with him, is going to be done away with, plain and simple. He said that there'd be many even come before him there. When Revelation speaks about, it'd be many stand there before him and said, Lord, we've done all these wonderful things in your name. We've cast out devils, healed the sick, opened blind eyes, raised the dead, and all these things we've done in your name. Well, he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, because I never knew you. It's because they've done. God recognizes his name, but I want you to think about it. It's only through faith that we accomplish what God said we could do. And them that believe can receive. Them that pray that prayer of faith, and that one that believes in that prayer of faith, no matter who prays it, and believe that God will and is able to do that which we ask him to do, they will receive what they need. But some people ask for riches, silver and gold, and things of that thing. Honey, don't be deceived by all these here prosperity things that's coming around. Plant your seed in my bank account and watch yours grow. His may grow, but yours may not get so much. And these that comes along, I put my biggest dollar I had in my billfold and I can it to send it to so-and-so. And the very next day I get a check for so much money. I don't believe that, my friend. Don't be naive and believe such mess as that. God's not a bank in heaven that he's going to answer your things of that nature. He will supply your needs. He's done me, and I can testify to the fact that he's met my needs all the days of my life. It wasn't that I always prayed and everything, but even from the days of my life, and I come along during the Depression times. That'll tell you about how old I am. But he met my needs. There was a lot of times it looked like the day was going to get by and we wasn't going to have nothing to eat, but at the last minute it come in. But my friend, don't wait until the last minute to call upon the name of the Lord and repent, because it may catch you in a predicament that the last minute you may not have the time. So when he told Abraham there that he was going to Sodom and he was going to find out, and he went down there and he never found 10 souls that was righteous, so they destroyed it. So my friend, look at the things at which in God has warned this world from day one, you might say, even to this day and hour that we live now, that he's come to the place that to where that we need to understand that he's warning us through his word. And there's other preachers that are preaching the same thing, maybe using a different word or something other, but preaching the same thing. Jesus Christ and him crucified for yours and my salvation is our only hope. You can't get there through no other way. When he said, no man can cometh unto the Father but by me. He was the Father in beginning. He created everything. He was the Father in creation, Son in redemption, and the Holy Ghost in regeneration. Just one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We're baptized into one body. So, my friend, it's time we take heed to the Word of God. Believe what it says. Now, we can go on many, many things there, but we find out the Leviticus, if you read it, he warned them about these things that which was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, we've got it going on today if you just take heed to it and look about it and see that wherein that the judges in this country have sanctioned it and made it to where that all this can transpire and come into all the same things that they were doing back then. There was marriage and giving in marriage, eating and drinking, having a gay old time. There was all kinds of things going on in that day as they are today, as they was in Noah's day. And we look at it. If you will read your word of God, as I encourage you to do, you will find these things written there, and you will look and find out that when Paul made mention about the book of Romans in the first chapter about these things of going on, God forbid man to lay with man and women with women. He made it a law and it's an abomination. Do you think God's going to suffer these people that's doing these things? That when he did allow it to go on and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for the same thing, you think that he's going to allow them to get by? I don't think so. He's going to bring forth the punishment that upon them that he brought upon Sodom and Gomorrah. He said he would, and I believe it. The word of God is going to stand. He said it's not going to pass away until all things be fulfilled. And we got to understand that they are being fulfilled. If you'd read in the paper and see on the news there just a few days ago, they had earthquakes in California again, some in other places around and about that maybe not been heard of before. They even had one off the coast of North Carolina and different places. And look into the scripture, my friend. Believe what it says, and you'll know that we're living in the last day. Soon for the coming of our Lord and Savior. Soon the time of the end's going to be here. And if you don't get into the kingdom of God through reborn again, except in the blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, looking unto him and be filled with his spirit, regardless of these people that said them people's crazy, they're of a cult and all that kind of stuff, because they may speak to God in that heavenly language. And there is interpretations. The Bible will tell you about it. In Corinthians, it tell you about the 9 gifts of the Spirit operated by one Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. And we got to understand the Bible is there for yours and my benefit. The word came forth for yours and my benefit to where it would bring us into the ark of safety, if you want to call it, into the plan of salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But if you ignore it and pass it on by and won't take heed to it, then you'll be like them was in Sodom and Gomorrah and in the flood. You'll wind up in the same place they did, in hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels. You go there as an intruder. So you don't go to somebody's house and break into the door because they're having a birthday party there and you wasn't invited. You don't go break into their place. Well, I hope you don't anyway, because you wind up probably getting hurt or in jail anyway. But God ain't going to let you come into his kingdom with all the world's baggage upon you. You got to repent. You got to turn from your sinful ways of an iniquity and allow God to cleanse you up, bringing forth the righteousness that God can only give you. My friend, you can't do it by yourself. So be taken warn there. And we look in Ezekiel there in the 33rd chapter, and he said, Ezekiel began to tell the people there when God spoke to him. He said, if they take a man from their coast, the people, in other words, take a man from their coast and make him a watchman there. And if he sees the sword coming up and he warns them and they take warning and they don't get carried away, then their blood, they'll be spared. But if Ezekiel didn't warn them and they carried away, and therefore the blood would be required at his hand. My friend, there's preachers as well as myself that is warning you about the coming of our Lord and Savior in hopes to persuade you to believe and to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be forgiven of your sins by repenting, as Acts 2 and 38 speaks about. Repent, as Peter stood there and preached to them there and told them to repent when they asked the question, men, what shall we do that we might be saved? And he said, repent, every one of you, being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. My friend, it's got to come God's way, or it ain't going to be. It's just plain and simple. And there, then God's will is not beyond coming into. If it had have been beyond you and I getting into it, we would have had no hope. But he made it possible. By what? By repenting, accepting the shed blood of Jesus Christ that was given for yours and my sins. That's the only way we're going to make it. Through the grace of the living God, through faith in the blood that he shed for our salvation, coming to him, humble before him and repent of our sins. If we call upon him, repent, he's faithful. He'll forgive us. He'll forgive us more and more and more, more times than most of us are willing to forgive someone that may do us wrong here in this life. Oh, my friends, it's time we take heed to the things. But Ezekiel, God told him that if he didn't warn the people, the blood would be on his hand. But if they take warning, then they would be saved. But if he warned them and they didn't take heed to it, then their own blood would be on their own hands. So that's why I'm trying to tell you today, what God has laid before us in his word will come upon us in the end time when he comes forth. If you or I, one, don't take heed to the word of God, believe and trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, being born again of the water and of the Spirit, accepting the promise that he has given unto us through his word and by faith, and looking unto him to be the author and the finisher of our faith, we die in our sins. Nobody to blame but you and I. We can't say we didn't have a warning, we didn't have a change. I don't believe that a man or child being born into this world had come that didn't have the opportunity to come into the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe God just arbitrarily just cut off anybody, but he made it very plain that if we don't come to him and ask for salvation, we ain't going to make it. So in regards to who you are, where you come from, what nationality you are, what color your skin is, If you don't repent, we're not going to make it. Plain and simple. God said we had to repent. It's in the Word of God to repent. And if we don't, well, we're going to be out in the cold, so to say. We'll hear him say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I do not know you, or I never knew. So, my friend, it's time we take heed to the Word of God. Ezekiel warned them and everything, and Noah warned them, and they didn't take any heed to it. So they was cut off. The flood carried them away. I'm warning you today, if you want to take it as that, trying to get to a soul born into the kingdom of God. But you can't get there except by the biblical way. And Jesus told us there to repent. Repent, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. Through faith, accepting that atonement for our sins. Believing on him, calling upon the name of the Lord, and receiving salvation. So if you know, if you neglect the salvation, in Hebrews 2 and 1 through 3, he said, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word which spoke by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense for a reward, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great of salvation, which is the first beginning to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God had also bear them witness, both with signs and wonders, and the which divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels had he put to subject unto the word, and come wherefore we speak. See, everything is subject unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, even to the angels and everything else. He made it all. He created it all. And these people are going around and teaching you other things. My friend, take heed to the word of God and to them that will preach you the truth. Take heed to the gospel. As Peter said on the day of Pentecost, when they had received the promise that Joel spoke about, and when Peter spoke and said, this is that which the prophet Joel said, in the last days I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, sons and daughters, and they shall speak with new tongues, in other words. The Holy Ghost has its own language, a language that only God can understand without there be an interpretation, which Paul made sure of in Corinthians with the nine gifts of the Spirit. The speaking of tongues, there's an interpretation. Otherwise, if there's no interpretation, let that person hold his peace and pray to himself. But a lot of people jump up and down, scream and holler and carry on and rattle off something other that doesn't benefit nobody, but they feel like they've done a great thing. But is it the true Spirit of God? You judge that. God doesn't do anything unseemly or uncandid. For just show or whatever. He does it decently and in order. Anything that's out of order with God's spirit is of the enemy, not of God. But that was Hebrews 2 and through 6 there that I read to you. But I want you to think about. Now, they were warned, many of them was, when they asked Peter on the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what shall we do that we might be saved? Peter warned them. He told them to repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but many people have failed to understand and take heed to the warning of the true plan of salvation. I hope you won't, my friend. I hope you'll believe what the Scripture has to say. But I got a little thing here I want to read to you. It's in our history books and everything, and it's about a little place in Pennsylvania. People didn't take the warning, but as it come forth, and back it was way back sometimes back, I forget now what, it was just, it was back in the 1700s, I guess. But he says, all down through the halls of history, God has definitely always had been trying to warn man of the consequences of his indifference. How foolish he is not to heed God's warning. The warning was given some years ago. A corp of civil engineers came to a little town in Pennsylvania. They went up into the mountain to examine the dam that controlled the water of a stream that flowed through the valley. When they came back down, they said to the people of the town, "That dam is unsafe. You in the valley are in constant danger." The people said to him, "You can't scare us." That fall, the man came back and examined the dam again. And again, they said unto the people in the valley, "We warn the people again that you're danger every hour." They laughed again and said, "Scare us if you can." 15 days later, a boy with his horse on a dead run came into the valley shouting, "Run for your lives. The dam has broken." In other words, it's gone. The water is coming. The people only laughed at him. But he did not wait to hear their laughs. He went on down the valley, still shouting the warning. In a few minutes, the water came, and in less than 30 minutes after it struck, Johnstown, Pennsylvania was in ruins, and more than 3,700 of those who had been in the town were dead. You too have been warned many times, frightened many times, yet you still sit there and say, "Scare me if you can." Let me be frightened. Me if you can. If you can frighten me, do it if you can. Heed the warning, but on God's judgment day, you will run and call for the rocks and to fall on you and hide him, the mountains to hide you from the soul who God had just fired. God gets closer to man who is honest with his own soul and feels his need of Christ. God helps you who says, "I am going to be frightened," into Christianity. If you begin, often reproved, hardens his neck, and shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. This may be your final warning. Your heart will be hardened tomorrow and still hardened the next day. Today is the day of salvation. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tomorrow may never come to you. My friends, it's time we take and heed to the Word of God. Now, this actually happened in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Many years ago, they were warned, but they taken no heed to the warning. Even with the young man riding his horse through there, like Paul Revere did, riding through there, warned the people that the British was coming. They taken heed to that. But there it was, these people in Johnstown, they didn't take heed. But when it was all over and the sad walking and the slow kicking was going on, there was 3,700 souls lost simply because they didn't take warning. They were warned, the engineer told them, and they told them about it, and the little boy on the horse telling them about it. The blood of those souls would be on their own hands and not on them that warned them. So that's the way it is with the preachers today, telling you to take heed. Jesus is coming soon. The end of this decade has begun to come into focus. The Lord's coming soon. And the thing of it is, when he comes in the clouds to take his bride away, you see, they got to be took off of the earth and before they can come back with him on the day of Armageddon. They can't be here and come back with him at the same time. But they'll be taken away. And he said they'd be with 1,000 years. But mind you, scripturally speaking, that with 1,000 years is but a day. A day is 1,000 years with the Lord. See, God don't live in a time thing like you and I do. We count the minutes. We arrive on our job in time to punch the clock at the given hour, and we punch it on the given hour that we depart from it. God's not on that time frame like you and I are, but he's on time irregardless. And in the fullness of time, all these things that the Bible speaks about, that preachers of myself and others are telling you about, in the fullness of time, it's going to come to pass. And if you're not in the ark of safety, if you hadn't been born again, born of the water and of the Spirit, and born into the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, and accepted him as your Savior, repented of your sins, you'll be left out. But you got to repent. Otherwise, you're going to be left out. It ain't going to be cold. The Bible says that hell's going to be burning with fire and brimstone. So I don't think it's going to be cold like some of the northern wind we've had in the past little while. It's been cold. It ain't going to be that way. It's going to be hot. It's going to be such as Jesus spoke about the man there in Lazarus, the rich man, asked Abraham to let Lazarus come and touch his finger in the water and dip his finger in the water and touch his tongue, for he was tormented in them flames. Are you going to be one of them? Or are you going to heed to the call? Accept the plan of salvation, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus and repenting and come to him for the salvation of your soul? Or are you just going to pass it off and say, scare me if you can? And you're going to wind up left out into the mercy of God, which his mercy will not be no merciful then. His mercy is now. But when his wrath comes, mercy will be done away with. The wrath of God will poured out upon you. I think my wife's going to try. She's had some dental work done, but she's going to try to say something other here. So we're going to make room here for these last couple of minutes here that she can be able to speak to you about something that the Lord laid her on her heart. So God bless you until next time. Here's my wife.
Well, I praise the Lord in the morning, the afternoon, and at nighttime, and I just thank God that he's never leaves me. He said he would never leave me, forsake me, but he would go with me no matter what. But I do a pamphlet every week. And a lot of times with things that I've read on the broadcasts and everything. And if you would like some of them to share with other people, just email us at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com. I'll send it to you. It don't cost you anything. You just need to give me your address and everything. And if you have something that you would like for me to share to with others, I mean, it would be my pleasure. So just email us and I would be glad to do it for you. And I hope next week I'll be able to talk better and give you a good old message that'll stir your hearts. But keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, and it's in red letters. So if you got a red letter Bible, but Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And I always end the broadcast with, today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come for you, may never come for me. Look up. Jesus is coming soon. Here, brother.
Praise the Lord. Yes, until next time, may God bless you. Keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon. Pray for us as we pray one for another. Pray for our boys and girls that are in these conditions that come back from them wars. Help us, O God, that we would keep in mind that you are our only hope of salvation. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31. 31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are